As you read the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is presented, has been presented to us in the Scriptures by under many different themes and many different names. You will see on our back window we have the Lord Jesus Christ as represented in the Gospel of John as the Good Shepherd. That's one of those. As you read the Bible, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed presented as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is also called the Son of Man. In John, he's called the Son of God. He declares himself in John 14 that I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's also presented himself as I am. And as you read throughout the New Testament, you will see that he presents himself where he says, I am the bread of life. We find out that also in the Word of God, he's called, in the Old Testament, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You will see that he's called Savior. He's called the Living Word of God. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's called the Messiah, the Lion of Judah. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. And on and on and on. In Scriptures, each one of these aspects that is given to us in these names is teaching us something about who he is. If you were to read the in Matthew chapter 7, we'll go there for the last point of the message. But if you go to Matthew chapter 7, he is presented as the foundation. He says that if any man in Matthew chapter 7, as he closes the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if any man hears these words of mine and obeys them, is like unto a wise man that built his house upon a solid foundation. Once again, each one of these aspects presents something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you and I consider the Lord Jesus Christ as our solid foundation, I do not think that there is a better time in our lives to consider that right now. Because I will say this, and I'm jumping way ahead of my message, is that if you were to look at Matthew chapter 7, it does not say that those two houses that were built were under constantly the storm. It was only prepared upon the foundation so that when the storms of life arise, that it stands. Amen? A lot of times we think that life is just going from one storm to another, but it really isn't. Sometimes we create storms of our own making, do we not? Come on now, amen? Are you there? Yeah, it's a little different this Sunday. That tent was neat. It's just something about being out in the air and all of that. But, I mean, it's nice in here today, isn't it? It's not hot. It's nice and cool. Okay? And so it's a little harder to stay awake, though. Because, you know, but anyways, what was I saying? Okay. And so a lot of times our lives seem to be rather peaceful. We go on, Father's Day is a day where we recognize this idea of being a dad and all the, today, all the accolades that go with for that, and tomorrow, all the challenges that come along with being that. Amen? Because we do live in a day, and I guess I should say this, I say this about Mother's Day and Father's Day, there's never been a time in our lives that the role of parents in the home has been trying to be redefined or attacked or dumbed down or whatever. Amen? Okay, good. Thank you if you're with me. And never before are these roles, R-O-L-E-S, never more important than they are today. Well, the storms of life are here. It seems as though, if you ever hear this word, I'm so tired of hearing these words, unprecedented, right? But we do live in unprecedented times. I'm going to redefine it this way. We are in foundation-shaking times, and it is times like this that reveal whether or not our foundation is intact. Amen? So I went to my fourth point, we can pray, and I got to head over to Texas Roadhouse. See, Pizza Hut's not open yet. But we went to, I, I did something yesterday. I never did. I ordered online and picked it up. And it was at Domino's. It was so interesting. I went to pick Mr. Blake up. He didn't want to go to the races. And I met him and I said, you know, we weren't going to take him to Texas Roadhouse. He's our grandson, but he's only our grandson. So. Cheese pizza. He's going to like cheese pizza better than Texas Roadhouse, okay? This is an advertisement. Texas Roadhouse will give me 50% off my meal if I talk about it long enough and can prove it. But anyways, so I ordered and I said, I picked him up and I said, hey, we're going to go to Domino's, get pizza. And he really didn't even complain about that. He thought that was great. So I went in and I said, they said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I ordered online. I'm picking it up. I know my order number and everything. And he goes, what's your name? He goes, they're not here. What do you mean they're not here? The delivery guy just left with them. I went, oh. So I'm thinking, I got to call my wife on the phone, you know, get $20. The guy's coming. And he said, oh, no, he's coming right back. He was not a happy camper when he walked in the door. It wasn't my fault, but I felt like it was my fault. But anyways, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the message. I don't know, what did I get talking about pizza already? But anyways, let's just go to number one, okay? When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being our solid foundation, I think what we have to do, first of all, before we even get to number one is that I go back and, you know, I was a young person and several people had witnessed to me and tried to tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ when I had a paper out. But it wasn't until I was 19 years old that I heard a good, clear gospel presentation. And I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I was on my way to hell. And to tell you the truth, that just terrified me. And then at the same time, you know, I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Savior. He was the only sufficient Savior, not one of many. And so I received Him as my Lord and Savior. And that was the day when I was 19 years old, 45 years ago in April, that I dug down and built my life on the foundation. The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust as you sit here today, first of all, before we even begin to go through these 4 points and a couple of stories I have to tell, that you have that same testimony also. Not the fact that you were 19 and you were a paper boy before that, but that there was a day in your life where you came under conviction for your sin and the fact that you were separated from God. And it was that sinfulness that separated you from God, and that you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful day? Come on now, amen? That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I'm celebrating my 45th wedding anniversary, and so that was a great day too. But here's the thing, folks. The greatest thing that ever happened to me is when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Second great event was when I stood at the altar and said, I do. And that charming, beautiful young lady looked up at me, because I was 6'2", and she was 5 foot. And she said, I do. And then he said, ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present to you Mr. and Mrs. David Dressler. And we were just kids getting married, but it still worked 45 years later. Amen? And so now as we look to number one, the foundation is the most important part of the structure. So we're going to talk about this foundation a little bit. The foundation is the most important part of the structure. I remember I am a graduate of Sun Area Technical School. Maybe you didn't know that. I was one of the first classes to go there. It was we went there, I think it was 1972 or something like that. I was in 10th grade. I had my life all mapped out. I thought I was going to be a journalist when I was in 9th grade. I'd have made a great journalist. You read my stuff, I would be a horrible journalist. Okay? You listen to me preaching, and when I listen to people say, oh, that's a wonderful message, I go back and listen to it, and I think they got the wrong program on. Okay? And I think, what did they hear that I didn't? Because I hear all these mistakes and all this stuff and all the stress. And blah, 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 blah. But anyways, what was I saying? I'm a graduate of Stone Area Tech School. So what happens is this, is that I took the trowel trades. I took the masonry course. And so I can remember going in the first day of class, and Ronald Hendricks was my teacher. And he was boy, I'll tell you what, man, we put that guy through an awful lot of stuff. I tell you, I should just sit down and just tell you a bunch of stories. It was just, we had so much fun. You're not supposed to have fun in school, kids. But I had fun. And I remember the first day, we had all these kids from all these different school districts, all these, you know, you had Sunbury, you had Lewisburg, you had Middleburg, I think they even had Midwest, and then there was Sealance Grove. Of course, we were introduced to all these other kids from all these different schools, and he has a mud board out there with some cement on, a trowel, and he had a block standing on edge. And everybody's around there, and he introduced himself. And I remember this. It's incredible that I would even remember this. And he takes that trowel, and he goes, and he snaps it with his hand, and in two motions he went and perfectly prepared that block to be laid in a wall. And everybody's just standing there and said, "Yeah, anybody can do that." So he started one by one. And we laughed that morning like we hadn't laughed in a long time. As those kids went like this and flop, flop. And it was okay until I got up front. And then it wasn't funny anymore. And I thought it was so interesting. He got everybody's attention. And over the years, I have used my block trade. And even when we, how about it, fellas, when we brick these holes shut, these guys actually respect me now a little bit. Right, Woody? Hit him, Carol. But I can remember laying blocks and folks said, "Boy, that really looks easy. Come on up and grab the trowel." Same thing. And they dump it down, or they're like, "Boy, that's really hard." No, it is not hard. You just have to learn. And so in learning the trowel trades, we learned, because almost all, a lot of that is learning to prepare foundation. So when I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ at 19, and when I read Matthew chapter 7, and it talks about building on a solid foundation, I know exactly what that's talking about, how important that is. Every structure must have a foundation. If the foundation crumbles, the wall, the building will collapse and be useless. Don Goss. I remember years ago when I was working for Howard Heinzman Masonry, there was a house up in your, where you live now, around there, where a storm came up. Their gutter system on the front of the house was compromised. All the water run down, collapsed the foundation wall in. And they went in there, and we dug that out and laid it up. That's a mess when a foundation goes bad. When 9/11 happened, it was several weeks after that, I had the privilege to go into New York City and view with one of our deacons from up at Bakersburg. We were working with a church in Queens, New York City, and we went downtown. Look, do you realize how deep those foundations are dug for an old word I called skyscrapers? You look down in just not 10, 15 feet. You look down in 20, 30, 40 50 feet they dig down to lay those foundations. Well, that's how important a foundation is. For our buildings today, see, the foundation is this, is that first of all, it is the foundation is the most important part of any structure. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul's addressing these co-laborers, and notice this, he says, as a wise master builder. Talking about this idea of building. And if I can remind you of 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11 again, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. And verse 11 is this, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, who's Paul? Who's Paul? Who's this Paul? Who's this Saul of Tarsus? Well, he was a religious man that was lost. He was a religious man that was zealous. And he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and he completely changed his life. I'd like to say this, is he lost every friend he had instantly. And he immediately had a new direction in his life because he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says this. And so Paul does this in verse 11. Paul states clearly the only foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about this stuff, we may actually agree with that statement. Do you agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only foundation for which you build your life? Amen? You agree with that? Absolutely. But how many times do we trust other foundations? How many times do we trust other foundations? Do we really trust the Lord Jesus Christ? We often use other foundations. Well, what does that mean? How many people, their foundation is shaking right now because they are in their spiritual faith grounded on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we plant ourselves and we listen to so many voices around us. Now, I'm not going to talk about since March. Let's go back 10 years. How many people have heard that this world's just going to, we're going to be in economic crisis, that it's just going to, oh my, and the only way out of it is to buy gold? Okay? I did that the other day. I got a piece of gold the other day. It's about this big around. I made a pen for a guy. Donnie and Cheryl know him real well. And he was a guy that panned for gold, and he has gold nuggets, and he paid me for a pen with a gold nugget, so I'm set for the rest of my life. I got a gold nugget worth about $60 to $70. I know this. Can't eat it. Okay? And it sits there on my little thing. I just have it for a keepsake. How many people telling you that? And you know what? They come up with something new every day that we're going to die from. They even had a show the other day or the other year called 1,000 Ways to Die. Did you ever see that show? It shows some of the most bizarre ways that people have died. Come on now, amen? How many people walk around and think, and we're scared to death? We shouldn't be scared to death. If anything, we should be some of the most confident people in the world because our hope for living life, leaving this life, is based on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Now we can talk about the last 3 months. I got up in the camp meeting, and so I didn't realize that this would all happen. I was surprised they even had it. But I'm going to make a statement, and I hope you don't get offended. Watch this. If Dave Dressler contracts the coronavirus and dies, I'm not going to hell. Amen? Amen? That just means that that's the vehicle that God used to take me out of this life. That's it. Amen? You know, we celebrated Helen Sprankle's life. She was 98 years old and doing rather well, I thought, up till about 2 weeks ago. And you know what happened? The Lord said, Helen, it's time to come home. And I knelt beside her bed a day before she walked into the presence of Jesus, and I said, and I sang that song, Amazing Grace. And she lifted her head up and smiled and held it up for all 4 verses. And she laid right back down, went back to sleep. Amen? Amen. How about it, Don? Nancy went home exactly the moment, not one moment sooner, not one moment later. Right? Amen? Peggy Cook went in to see her 2 days before she passed away. I said, of course, I got this big booming voice, right? I can't whisper. My mom told me when I was 11, David, don't whisper. Everybody can hear you. And I looked at Peggy and I said, Peggy, and I shared this with you with tears running down my cheeks. I said, Peggy, it looks like Jesus has your room just about ready for you. And she looked at me and she followed me around the bed. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. Listen, folks. You do realize this. The only foundation for which to secure our future in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only foundation to live your life every day is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The only foundation that will give you hope and peace through everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now, amen? I've never in my life lived where the discussions have been so opposite. And people say, who do I believe? I'll tell you who to believe, folks. I believe Jesus. I believe it's just like Jesus said. Amen? I believe we're in the end times. I don't believe it just because of everything going on. I believe it because he said it. I'm only seeing evidence unfold that supports the theory or the teaching that I have grasped and believed 45 years ago. Amen? Amen. I can hardly wait. You say, well, I hope he waits until I get done Texas Roadhouse today. No. No. He can come back now. Amen? Amen. And you say, well, wouldn't that disappoint you? Absolutely not. So, let me catch up to my notes now. A is this. Paul was saying this. He was responsible to lay the foundation. I'm going to do B too right away, and then I'm going to come back. He was encouraging those who were laborers to get the message right. It's not bringing people to me, but we need to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul was saying here, very interesting. A lot of teaching, but here's the teaching that I am going to choose to bring to you out of this passage. I'm not trying to force what I want to say in this passage. I'm going to let the passage say it. Here's what the passage says. Paul said that as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That doesn't mean that he was the foundation. All that means is he laid that foundation out, and that foundation was teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, how they needed a Savior, and that Church of Corinth was built upon the doctrines of salvation, sanctification, and all of that. Amen? That's what that says. He laid the foundation. And what he was telling them is that they were to be careful how they were to build on that foundation. So the first way I want to apply this to you and me is this, is that you and I are equally responsible to, as A, Paul was responsible to lay the foundation. Now what I want you to do is underneath your sheet there, I want you to write these two words. I am. And then you finish it. I am responsible to lay the foundation. If Paul was responsible to lay that foundation, okay, we're not over in the Middle East, we're not anywhere near Turkey where they think the Church of Corinth was, but you and I have that same responsibility to be laying the foundation. I think of different stories that are interesting that the Lord has brought into my life, people that God's brought into my life. When I first went to Bakerburg, and Karen will remember this, we went up there June of 2001, and at that time I met a family called the Gussich family. It was Ann and Herb. They were retired already. Herbie had managed the TWA terminal at in New York City. It would be what is it? Kennedy. JFK, right? JFK. And he managed the whole terminal. And so Herb was one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. Herbie really didn't care for me. And his wife was at home taking care of her dad, who was in full-blown Alzheimer's. Harold Chamberlain was about this tall, very small man, very easy to manage, very gentle in his affliction. And so the head deacon, Glenn, took me around and said, I want you to meet the Gussich family. They're part of this church. Ann's taking care of her dad 24-7 now. They don't attend church, but he's one of our shut-ins. Harold was a dynamic Christian in his time, loved the Lord. And so I visited them once a week. I had church with 25 people, and so I could visit a lot. And so every time I'd go, Ann would be there. And usually Harold was sitting at the kitchen table. I got there between 11 and 1, late morning, early afternoon. And so Harold was there. And so I would drop a videotape off of the service because he would just sit and pass the time watching TV. And one time he was lucid. I think that's when the person's in their mind, right? Lucid, as they call it. And he looked at his daughter and said, that guy's pretty good. All right, I like that. And I have to admit, I got a couple of those tapes. You want to look them? I don't think he's any good. But anyways, And I say that sincerely, not false humility. But anyways, it would be Ann and her dad Harold, and Herbie would, he had a log home and he hid up in the loft. But he could hear me because my voice carries. Well, that Christmas, Ann had a nice gift basket for me. That was very thoughtful of her. Her dad was still alive. Herbie came down out of the loft that day. Well, actually, I knew something was happening because Ann told me one time, said, "You missed last week," and Herbie wondered where you were. And I'm thinking, well, he never even sits at the table. He doesn't even talk to me. And so that day, he cut up German bread, dark German bread. Boy, it was good. He had a little mustard there in a plate, and he liked cheese, and right down my alley. We began that day to forge a friendship. A genuine friendship, not pastor, parishioner. And I can remember people telling me, you know, that Herbie, he's a hard nut to crack. You'll never get. I tell him all the time, you know, he believes in evolution. Oh, my, I tell you what, he thinks the world's billions of years old, blah, blah, blah. And just, of course, you know, you hear that, it's just like, you know, you're just waiting to get the big speech. One day, they had quite a bit of land there, and he had a slate quarry on their property that years ago they cut slate chalkboards out. We're walking up there that day. It was not being used, but it was really a neat piece of history. And he was saying, look at this, look at this. And he was showing me and didn't offer me a slate chalkboard or anything. We're walking down towards his house, and he said, Pastor Dave, this is where he's starting to get me. He said, now, look at these lava flows here. You can't tell me that that's not millions of years old. And of course, I'm walking down through him with him, and his dog Maisie was there. I had a German Shepherd dog, beautiful dog, wonderful dog. Loved to eat groundhogs. And then it would come down and throw up on the porch. Just threw that in to make sure you were listening. So anyways, I told him that day, I said, Herb, I said, yeah, it does look like it's millions of years old, maybe even billions of years old. And I said, Herb, I want to ask you a question. When God created man, did he create man a baby that needed to be nurtured, and God nurtured that baby and that God taught that baby, or did God create Adam, a full-grown man, mature, full of age, and full intellect? And Herb said to me, he thought for a moment, and I guess he figured I was going to go ahead and get him. And he said, okay, I agree. I believe that God could have created him, a full-grown man, mature, full of intellect, and has the appearance of age. And I said, now Herb, do you think that God could have spoke this world into existence and did exactly that to the world in which you and I are standing on, that you and I, it gives the appearance of millions of years, maybe even billions of years, yet it could only be maybe 7 to 10,000 years old. And I hooked him. And he said, I'm going to have to think about that for a while. Now I'm going to fast forward my story because Texas Roadhouse is wrong. The day that I resigned from the church, we didn't resign under scandal. Of course, you know the day I resigned because 2 weeks later I was here, right? No scandal involved. It was the Lord's will. I got up that day. We combined two services into one, and everybody was on edge. They wanted to know what the pastor had to say. And when I read my resignation, Herb stood around for probably 2 hours because everybody wanted to talk to us. He come up to me, and I'll never forget what he said. I'll never forget. If I have Alzheimer's, I hope I still remember this. He said, Pastor Dave, I want to thank you for showing me what saving faith is all about. Now, I fast forwarded. We would do building projects. We ate Chinese food together. We would go to Olive Garden. He would come to me and say, well, what about the Ice Age? Good question, Herb. And we would always be discussing stuff. And his wife would say to me, I don't know if Herbie's saved. I said, Ann, Herbie is not going to come to you and say that I'm saved. That's the type of man he is. Pastor Paul told me after Ann passed away here last year, he said, I have never seen a man with a more solid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is very private about it. And I said, that's Herb. What happened? laid the foundation. You and I are supposed to be about the idea of laying the foundation in people's lives. And what is that? You know what happens a lot of times? We become, the American people are just so busy. It says, hi, how are you? My name's Dave. Yeah, you want to come down to church? Yeah, you come down. You just, well, what do you think? I don't like it. Okay, see ya. When I worked at Wood Mode, worked with people for 14 years. They used to make fun of me. Well, call 1-800-BE-SAVED. That's Davey's phone number. Laying the foundation in people's lives. Slow and steady always wins the race. Amen? Slow and steady always wins the race. And so what now is that, let me see. Let's talk about the foundation a little bit more as we consider this idea of laying it. The foundation is the least noticed part of the building, right? You want to see something interesting? You want to see the foundations for this church. This is incredible. Get downstairs, you look around. Doesn't always smell the best, right? Get down there a little, get down the old coal bin, and there's a side that isn't cemented and everything. But the foundations, you know what? The foundations are in good shape. Amen? Amen? Trustees? Foundation are good. And they work hard to do that. They work hard to maintain these things. Okay? But see, the foundation, you say, what do you mean? Are we not supposed to talk about Jesus? Because that's what you think. Well, the foundation's not seen. Well, we got to hide Jesus. Well, Matthew chapter 5 or Matthew chapter 6 talks about our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is a candle that you light and it lights the whole room, and we're not supposed to hide in under a bushel. But follow my line of thinking on this. Okay? If I am to lay the foundation with my life, and if the foundation is the least known part of the building, or the least seen or noticed part of the building, is that when we meet people, I don't walk up to people first thing I meet them and be like this, and, hey, I'm Dave Dressler, who are you? Tom. Hey, Tom, I just want you to know, Jesus is the foundation for my life. Right? Do you do that every person you meet? I go into CVS, a nude lady's giving me something. Hey, I just want you to know, I love Jesus more than anything in this world, and I don't care what you say, I'm going to die. And people, you know what? After a while, they're coming. Those people are going to come, and they have a special jacket. They wrap you like this, and you can't do anything, right? Or better yet, I go into Walmart, I go to the customer service, and I go like this, and say, hey, folks, I just want you to know, I'm Dave Dressler, and I'm in the store today, and I want you to know that I love Jesus more than anything, and he's the foundation for life, and I'm going to be a guy that used to have red hair walking around. I'm about 6'2". This is what I'm wearing today, and if you want to know Jesus, you just see me. Right? Did you ever have your name called out at Walmart? I was up at Mansfield one time, and I'm walking and said, would Pastor Dave Dressler please come to the service desk? You have an emergency phone call. Boy, that just lights you right up. I said, I'll be up in 5 minutes. I'm looking for my favorite ice cream. No, you go. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine doing that? Go to Target. Attention, Target shoppers. My name's Dave Dressler. I'm just in the store today for about an hour and a half. I just want you to know that Jesus is the foundation for my life. No, see, when we look at it this way, the foundation is the least noticed part of our life, but as we enter into people's life, then we get a chance to share with them, watch this, we share with our mouth, but we also share with them with our values, our priorities, and our actions. Amen? I think about this, is that, Danny Funderburg, I finally learned how to say his name. Funderburg. I always said it was Thunderbird, but it's Funderburg. What an interesting name. He would get up and he would be singing all this last week at this thing. He did a little concert and then people get up and preach. And he would say, folks, you're not smiling. Isn't that something? You have a hard time smiling. You have a hard time smiling. I'll tell you what, if anything, I smile because everybody around me wonders what he's up to. Okay? You just take a notice of people. How are you? I told you about that security guard. Do you remember that security guard at work, Matt? I mean, he was real, real thin. I'll never be real thin, okay? But he was. And he wore his pants up about right here. Must have been like 74. And I pictured him walking with this big, stout German shepherd, but he never had it. And I would say to him, and maybe you heard me say it to him already, Matt. I'd say, how are you? He'd go, terrible. Terrible. And one day, it always set me back. And one day he came in and I said, hey, how are you today? He goes, terrible. I said, that's great. He goes. So anyways, I'll get on with my message. See if my notes are. You know, I have another example, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. I'm running out of time. But here's the thing. And this brings the message together for you and me. I have two more points. And I knew I wouldn't have enough time. The foundation brings us through the storms of life. In Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn back there just for a moment. Matthew chapter 7. You know, Matthew chapter 7, some very sobering words. Right after Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, not all those that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but those that do the will of my Father in heaven. Boy, that's a sobering passage, is it not? Because the dialogue goes on and says, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus says, I never knew you. Not I knew you when you were young and you strayed when you were old. I never knew you. And then he transitions to the end of his message and he says this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And it talks about the foolish man that built it on the sand. And you know, here's the thing. I'm going to rely on my building trades here. And you know, in the Middle East, they had really hard ground, like clay. A lot of clay in Snyder County. Hardest thing sometimes. It's hard to dig through shale and all that stuff. But in the Middle East, they had this rock layer that you had to get down to build because the ground was covered. And when that ground that was on top of the rock bed would get very wet, it got very soft. But when it was hot, and it's hot over there all the time. And so what happens is people would say, and I talked about marriage one time, and I talked about the father okays the son's house, and he goes and he gets his bride. The son would build the house. Well, they had illustration after illustration around them how to build houses, and they were taught from little on up, if you dug a foundation, you got to get down to the rock. But personal experience a lot of times is better than teaching. And a young man would be out there preparing his home and say, boy, this is just hard. I leveled it off. It's going to be okay. And he would take sun-dried bricks and lay them up. They would build the roofs with the eaves out over so that it didn't run down the walls. Well, occupies his home. Storm comes up. Storms come up in those areas a little bit different here. I think maybe we understand it when we get these gully washers in June and July. You get a really hot day and boy, it comes down, washes roads out. Happens over there. What happens is it comes down, beats against the house, and at first everything's okay. But then, as it does so many times, it puddles around the house. Then pretty soon it begins to run around the house. And they were guaranteed that if they were down on rock, that their walls would not collapse. But if they were not down on solid rock, then the ground would give away. That's the sinking sand. And it would fall. A very vivid illustration. That's interesting. See, you and I, right now, we're in the storms of life. We are in the gully washer of my lifetime. Amen? I mean, I can remember in the 90s when we had back-to-back 2-foot snows that they closed the roads. I can remember that. I drove on them anyways. And they told us at Woodmode, get in here as soon as you can. I took the one truck home with the orange light on. I hit a snowdrift and spun around, and I'm sitting there on 35. I can't even see the road, and I'm shaking all over. And in the distance, I see another light coming down the road, and here was a state crew. And then I found out that they weren't in better shape than me. I have never been told to stay home for a month. Amen? Come on now, amen? That's a storm of life. That's a storm of life. I have never been told that, I mean, I always know that you can get something. Storms of life. Foundation shaking storms. You know what it's going to prove in our lives? If we're down on that solid rock. Boy, it's times like this that you want to kiss the rock. Amen? It's times like this that you want to say, you know what? I know that my life is in His hands. Amen? And He always knows what's best. Come on now, amen? He always knows what's best. And you know what? What it ought to be is this. And I said this in the very beginning. If anything, we ought to be people of great hope right now. We ought to be people of great confidence. Watch this. Not in the world around us. My, oh my, you can find voices saying anything. Come on now, amen? You can find voices saying anything. But I'm just going to trust God with my life. I'm going to ask Him to give me wisdom to be able to take in what I hear, that I can discern truth, but also, watch this, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring to you. We were coming down Chestnut Street and the road coming out in back of Kohl's. A guy pulls out and I told Karen, wouldn't it be wonderful just to get T-boned 2 blocks from the church and, well, the pastor's going to run down and preach. Uh-huh, yeah. There's so many things in life that can cause us to shake our foundation. But I will say this, if you and I want to shore up our foundation, is trust God. Amen? Let's trust God. Let's trust God with it all. Let's trust God with our finances. Let's trust God with our health. Let's trust God with anything that comes our way. Amen? I don't know what's going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? How about it, bud? No. No. It may be that the word will go around and say, boy, you know what? Dave Dressler fell down the steps, broke his neck, and he's dead. Oh, my. What am I going to do? Rejoice for Dave. Just hope Karen didn't push him because I don't want her to go to jail. Amen? Amen. Now, watch this. I didn't say that we ought to make light of anything, did I? Absolutely not. If anything, this is a wonderful time in our lives where we can share with people that foundation that we have settled down in our life. I am trusting Jesus. Wow, what a conversation to have. You know what? There's herbs out there that are just waiting to have someone care enough in their life to talk to them. You know, that relationship probably took 10 years. And I never went home and said, well, we got that far in a relationship. Well, what else do I read in the book? Well, got to get that far in a relationship. Nope. Anyways, I'm out of time. Father.